The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, the US President Donald Trump has vowed that the United States will retaliate if Iran attacks Qatar again. An energy hub was hit in the country overnight, and gas prices have spiked since. Now, Donald Trump has also pledged that there will be no more attacks on Iran's South Pars gas field. Let's get more on this now with Channel 4 presenter Matt Fry, who's in the Middle East. Matt, this looks like a right mess this morning, because we have Israel attacking this South Pars gas field in Iran. Donald Trump saying, we knew nothing about that, we'd no advance warning. Iran hits back at Qatar, and now we have gas prices spiking this morning. It's out of control.
It is, and I think it shows you, Claire, that there are two people or two parties that are calling the shots, as it were, in this war. One side is the side that should have been defeated by now, according to the Americans, and that, of course, is Iran, singularly focused on the survival of the regime. That is their war aim in this. And so far, they seem to have succeeded in that. And they've done so by leveraging the Straits of Hormuz, but also by retaliating against the, you know, considerable, well, you know, the biggest gas oil field in the world, but also the considerable economic interests of the Gulf region and, of course, beyond. The other party that knows exactly or thinks it knows what it's doing is the Israelis. They still want regime change. They still insist on that. And even though that is a goal the Americans are no longer so interested in. And that has the world's mightiest military essentially responding to an agenda in the middle of this very hot war set by other people, with all the collateral damage for the world economy that entails. So, you know, it started off with some very smart bombs against the leaders of Iran 3 weeks ago, almost. Some very smart bombs delivered by some politicians who are frankly not as smart as their weaponry.
Yeah, and it's just interesting to see what's happening in the United States as well. In the last few days, we had the resignation of the counterterrorism chief. Then all of these rumours swirling around what J.D. Vance, the vice president, actually thinks of what has happened and what the Americans have decided to do in backing Israel and going for Iran. There is a clear sense that the relationship is not cohesive.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. I mean, J.D. Vance has more or less gone into a witness protection program. We've barely heard from him. And normally he doesn't miss an opportunity to open his mouth in the Oval Office or, you know, in any other bit of Washington real estate. You've got Marco Rubio, America's chief diplomat, who's also said precious little. Even Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, the self-declared action man, the Ken of this particular, the kinetic Ken, as I like to call him, of this particular conflict, even he's been piping down. So you've got the president floundering around, and it comes back to that age-old lesson that America keeps forgetting and keeps having to learn. A little bit like all the Americans are now having to learn about Middle East geography once again. And that is that if you trigger a war in the Middle East, you better make sure you know how to get out of it and you have some kind of strategy for how this might end and what you would do after it ends. And they clearly didn't think of that. And perhaps they didn't think of it because they were so successful in Venezuela with their very swift extraction of President Maduro. They were able to impose an oil blockade against Cuba, literally turning the lights off without any repercussions whatsoever. And Trump famously doesn't listen to advice. He gets bored. He doesn't do his homework. He trusts his, you know, when he was asked the other day, when will you know whether this is over? I'll feel it in my bones. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a boneheaded answer is that, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah.
So this is a guy, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want to be too rude here. He's the president of the United States. But the point is that he doesn't listen to the considerable amount of advice swirling around Capitol Hill and the White House and the Pentagon. And that is not the first time this has happened, but it is the most blatant example of that.
Yeah, and now, you know, as the days go on, it looks more and more like a quagmire. You know, there is a reason why the American administration's past haven't tackled Iran. You know, I mean, that is the lesson of history, isn't it? Because this is what happens.
It is. And just to be fair to Donald Trump for a minute, he has not yet put boots on the ground, and he probably won't, because he doesn't want to, and because he probably realizes that that is a cost that neither he nor the American people are prepared to sustain. Mm-hmm. So that is where this war is different.
But he's not going to pay the gas bill of our listeners today, or pay at the petrol pumps. You know, who ultimately pays for this? It is people in the UK, Europe, people further afield, who will feel this pinch for months to come.
And people in America who have to vote in the midterm election. So from a political point of view, if you're a Republican senator or congressman, this is really bad news, because the American public cares a lot more about what they pay at the gas pump than than the future of the Iranian regime, you know, a country that they might even have a hard time locating on the map. So I think, you know, that is a political problem for him. I think he knows that, and that's why he's beginning to panic a little bit. I mean, this is a guy who basically rubbed everyone's nose in it for the last year, was insulting allies left, right and center, picked a trade war with China that he lost, and is now begging the Chinese to help him clear the mines in the Straits of Hormuz, saying, you guys rely on this gas and oil much more than I do, which is true, right? That is true. America is energy self-sufficient. But the price of that energy is set on the global market, not by the United States. And at the end of the day, if, you know, his best friends in the Gulf, those who promised him shiny toys and planes when he retires, like Qatar, mm-hmm. the Qataris are livid at the moment that the Americans allowed the Israelis to go ahead with this airstrike against the South Pass oil field yesterday, which is part owned by Qatar. And then, of course, the response was an attack from Iran on the biggest gas installation in the world. This is disastrous for the Qataris. So I think he has, you know, he's having to recalibrate. Oh, maybe that's too complicated a word. He's having to rethink, you know, what he wants out of this war. And I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 weeks' time he called it quits and declared some degree of victory. And maybe the Iranians will say, well, we've clung on. There will be some degree of victory as long as we're given certain reassurances. And then guess what? The Israelis enter the fray yet again and say, well, actually, we haven't quite finished yet with that regime change business. We're going to carry on. What does America do then? Hang out the Israelis to dry, or come in again on their side? So America is once again, thanks to a war, having to learn two things: geography in the Middle East and the limits of its own power.
Yeah, and not to mention the broken promise to the American people that we will stay out of foreign wars. I mean, that was one of the major planks of his election campaign. As you've reminded us, he is facing those midterms. He hasn't fixed the economy. Now layer this on top. It's maybe a very unhappy winter for Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, let's start with the summer and the spring. I mean, not only has he not fixed the economy, he's made it a lot worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday, Jay Powell, the outgoing chair of the Fed, said basically, this is really bad news for inflation. Interestingly enough, they've decided to, they will probably go ahead with an interest rate cut. Now, that could also spell some damage, because of the way you control inflation is obviously by raising interest rates. That is something that the Fed does not seem to be prepared to engage in at the moment. So there are all sorts of repercussions in this, both economic and political. And as ever, especially in the Middle East, if you kick the hornet's nest, and unless you have a very good plan for appeasing those hornets, you know, there will be collateral damage, that ghastly term. Things will happen that, you know, unintended consequences. This is an eat as much as you can buffet of unintended consequences.
Matt, thank you so much. Matt Fry there from Channel 4 News.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.